evening, everybody. Hope you're doing well this evening. Just as a reminder, as I mentioned this morning, if any college students that you know in your life, they don't have to be freed students, college age, I mean, for that matter, if you feel college age, we are going to get together at our house. Seth and Kaylin are coming over. We're just planning each Sunday night to have something at the house and just kind of get the tradition going of anybody that's around this summer. They can come on over and hang out for as little as long as they'd like. So I told the girls, we're going to have a party every Sunday night. So they were very excited about that because usually they're in bed between 7 and 7:30. So they're living it up summertime with no school. So we're excited about that. I'm happy to be able to continue in the series that we're doing on kind of different generations, populations in the church, and thinking about that. I thought Jared kicked this off really well, and I really just wanted to copy what he did, too. And I got his questions and all that as well. Of course, Bill followed up. And so the thing is that, you know, my whole professional career has been on college campuses. I mean, besides one year I taught in Bolivar in high school, other than that, I've been on university campuses, working on the staff side of things, the student services, or extension, being, you know, a college professor. And so, you know, and they were like, all right, why don't you talk about college students? I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And I was like, why is this so difficult, as I was trying to figure out what to do. And I was afraid y'all might figure out I'm a sham or something. But I think what it is it's so hard to determine what to talk about and how to generalize something so diverse as the college generation. And so there's a couple different ways that we could go this evening. And, you know, I read a Generation Z book flipping through, you know, so you can talk about trends of generation. But I thought tonight what I want us to do, though, is I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Just think about the opportunities that we have with the students that we're going to be encountering here and how we can serve them as a church. And so what I want us to do tonight, and the title is coming up, Oh to be Young. Oh to be Young. Think back for just a moment to when you were 18 years old. And I know in this crowd, that would be different experiences too, because we've got all sorts of generations that are here as well. Think about what it's like to be 18. Let's think about for our college students. That if they're 18, their freshman year, a lot of them going away. I know some of our college students stay here. I hope my girls will stay here too one day. But a lot of students are coming from far away. Well, maybe a couple hours. I came 14 hours away. So there's all sorts of new freedom and responsibility in navigating that. In that first year, you know, you're figuring out, you know, new things. And probably your sophomore year, you're like, okay, I have this a little bit under my belt and you kind of know what you're doing. And then junior year, you're probably starting to really get into a lot of your core classes, your major classes. And before you know it, senior year rolls around, you're probably like, oh my goodness, this is almost over. I'm about to graduate. What am I going to do with my life? I have to leave this place I love. And there's the anxiety of launching into the next stage of life. So think about when we talk about 18 to early 20s, just how many different kinds of transitions our college students are going through. Each year is different. And this actually brings up kind of in the background of working on the student services side, you know, we had to do things like student development series. And that's not what the sermon's going to be about. But there's a theory I really like that really kind of, when I had to for work, say, what's your theory? Like, that's your practice. I had Schlossberg's transition theory. And here's the gist of it. Well, I'm not going to tell you the gist of it. I'm going to basically say it's all about transitions. And that in transitions, there are different kinds of factors that play a role in that. And tonight, one of those factors is social support. Those intimate friendships, family networks, communities and institutions. And so that's where we come into play as students are confronting different transitions. Really, each year, we are one of those factors that can help support them as they navigate those transitions as we want them on success. And we want so much more. We don't just want them to be successful academically and vocationally. We want them to grow in their relationship with God because they are launching out on making their faith their own. As they're going to maybe meet somebody and move into a career, especially sometimes, you know, students talking about leaving the bubble, right? And they're going to go out into the world, so we want to launch them successfully into that. And so it's our time tonight, I thought, okay, let's think about this in terms of students we're going to encounter. How can we love and serve and encourage our college students? So I've got a couple of passages, and then I want to kind of think through how we apply that to the college age. But really, we could then do that with each different kind of population that we're talking about. So all the different generations that make up the church. So let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. 1 John 4, verse 7 through 12. It reads, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." So as we think about loving one another and how to love our college students, I was talking the other day to my buddy Andrew Kingsley. He's the college minister down at University Church in Montgomery, and we were talking about some other things. And I said, "Hey, I've got this talk coming up. Let me just top it off the top of your head. What comes to mind when I talk about, you know, serving the college students, connecting with the college students, you know, as we communicate with the church about college students?" You know, and he said, "I don't think the college age is like a really tough nut to crack. They're just like we all have more in common than we are different." But you know, the first thing he said, this isn't rocket science. He said, "Know their name." Know their name. And how true that is. I really felt that, especially because I pride myself on knowing the name of every single one of my students. And to come in Freed this year, and I knew two students before I came in, and I have 55 students up in Lloyd Auditorium B, math, and they're leaving, it was really challenging. And I want to know their names. They're like, "Hey, you, how are you, buddy?" Brother Billy called me superstar the first semester, and then he got Matt down because I was in the homecoming. So Brother Billy, I love it when he hit me superstar. It's hard learning all those names. It takes some time. And then I got to see him in Jack today. He knew everybody's name in there, right? In order to know names, to know names. Now, again, your responsibility is not to know every name of a college student that comes in. But I hope you know 3, 4, 5 at least names, because together we can know all of these students. Okay, I'm hoping that I'm going to get all of them, right? Because I feel like that's such an important thing. And you talk about, and find genuine connection. Investing time to find things over which to connect and bond over. And you know what? We did a focus group in the spring with some of the college students. We got them from different clubs. We got some student athletes. And we're just asking them some questions. We had the interns do it. Seth and I weren't even there. So, you know, they could just talk. You know what one of the things came out of that? They want to know their elders. And we shared that with the elders. So I know you've heard that. They want to know who the elders are. These 18, 19, 20, 21, 22... What do they want to do? They want to know the leadership congregation. We should be so encouraged by that. Not only that, and they talk about wanting to know the members and wanting to be fed spiritually. And so as we think about loving the college students, the first thing is just to get to know them, to know their name, make the effort to talk to them.
And again, my only experience here has been in COVID when we've had our hands tied behind our back. And you know, the beginning of last year was like, "Okay, y'all come in, and then we want y'all to go ahead and leave and not mix at all." Ugh, it was so challenging. But again, think about the opportunities that we have. And so make an effort to talk to them. You know, one student, I did ask, kind of put it out there for college students if they wanted to share anything. And one student said, you know, some college students, not everybody, a lot are intimidated to speak to older adults. Again, I don't think that's everybody, but there's going to be a decent contingency if you're going to be intimidated in that way. And so just that reminder of it's our job to break the ice. It's our job to make them comfortable. You know, I think about, you know, I'm not going to expect a kindergartner to have the responsibility to talk to the senior in high school, okay? And so in the same way, think about the responsibility that we can have to make that effort. And so, you know, we shouldn't have to expect the college student to make the first move. And so to love college students is to show care and concern, you know, even when there's nothing in it for you. Although I guarantee you, you're going to be blessed by it. And I think this is where our Fusion Family program has really shined. And of course, again, we were limited this last year, but what a great way to show those personal relationships and to grow those intimate relationships with college students. I think those are relationships that are likely to endure.
My adopted parents, when I was here, were the McLaughlins, John and Debbie McLaughlin, who many of y'all know. And I still love them dearly and have a warm place in my heart because a boy who is very far away from home, just to be in their home. I have great, great memories of them, you know, showing that care and concern and being that home away from home. And, you know, sometimes I think, and maybe sometimes I think, well, I'm boring. Like, our kids go to bed at 7:30, right? We're not, like, living the high life, the nightlife, you know, a whole lot, all right? And so I think, what do I have to offer? But remind ourselves, when you're living in a dorm room and you miss your family, just to be in a home, how encouraging that is. That's some of my favorite memories. I wasn't going to share this, but I'll share it. Okay, so McLaughlin's, one of the memories that stands out is one night, one evening, I was supposed to have a date, but my girlfriend dumped me. And so I went to McLaughlin's, and I did laundry, and I took a nap and pouted on their couch. And they just left me alone. I love them for that. And God, as I always sing when I talk about old girlfriends, and God bless the broken road, led me straight to Alicia. It worked out. But again, it was just, I just went there and did laundry and napped on their couch. And that stands out to me, you know, 20 years later, of just that they provided something that was so important. And so that home is such a great source of comfort. And if we went around the room, you know, there would be so many stories that you have of college students that you've connected with and grown to love. And I know that and I see that. So as John tells us, if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. All right. Also, I'm going to share a few tidbits of wisdom from Esther Grace. I was working on my sermon the other day. That's what I was doing. She said, I want to help. I said, okay. So I asked her some of these questions. Now, I have permission to share this, but she said, do not stare at her, okay? She's like her mama, doesn't like a lot of attention, all right? So but I have permission to share this. So I said, Esther Grace, she said, you know, how can we love our college students? She said, if they look like they need help, you say, hey, do you need help? So that's a great place to start. I think about how do we serve college students. In 1 Peter, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter 4, verses 7 through 11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, as I mentioned a couple sermons ago, that we are unified in Christ, but we're not uniform. And we each have different gifts, and we need to identify that and put it to work. Gifts of service, encouragement, listening, giving, compassion, hospitality, leadership, evangelism, the list goes on, and use your gift to serve others. You know, I think I mentioned this, I don't know if I did or not, but let me tell you the great success that the study break was across the street. Instead of doing study hall over here, we went to them. And I know a lot of y'all know about that because we had like so many baked goods. I mean, we had no concerns about running out because y'all were so helpful in us preparing for that. But we went over there, we set up tables in front of the library, and you know, students kept talking about that. Well, who is that? Why are they? And it was Henderson, and they loved it. And they also loved that they came and we came into contact with so many students, but they also loved getting to see our members and interacting with them. And so again, it took all these different talents from baking in the kitchen, to organizing, to being there to socialize, to the manpower, to the coffee making. We have a great opportunity to serve. And just as we ought to be the ones, like we said, who break the ice in getting to know them, let's serve them by being proactive and go to them as well. If we have an event, please come. You know, there's no pressure, and you don't have to come to every event, but if there's something that interests you, come to an event. Pick one a semester. When we have an ice cream social hour on the front lawn after, come out there and visit with our students. Drop in on the college class. At a potluck, sit down at a table of college students and get to know them. This is what one student shared. Little things are big things. Text messages, phone calls, cards. Just taking time out of your day helps us know that you care about us and that we are important to you. It's easy for us to become discouraged, so this can be a big help. And I think this is particularly important when we meet freshmen in the fall, that we really want to work hard, really hard that first month, so they imprint on us, you know? And we get them plugged in the beginning, because we want them to find their home with us and to use their gifts to serve here as well. And a central way we do that is by relationship. We serve by giving of ourselves to build relationships with others. So all of this, again, rolling together, let's think about encouragement. You know, I thought of Titus
chapter 2. There's a whole passage here, but in verses 1 through 14, we won't go there and read it all, but we see kind of the older men and the older women teaching the younger women and teaching the young men to be all these things, modeling good work, showing integrity, dignity. Verse 11 of Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. You know, in those verses before, we have this great list of goals and things we ought to be about doing as we encourage one another and help one another.
And again, that overall thing here, I think in 12, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age.
Again, these students, as they are transitioning, making all these different transitions,
right, we want it to encourage them, whatever way we can, to seek a life that follows after God. When I ask students about challenges that they face, here's some of them, that answers that were given. Perfectionism, stress and time management, balancing all the aspects of life, school life, personal life, spiritual life, finding their place in the church while also trying to find their place vocationally. And so many, and I see this in the faith essays that I have my students write each semester, so many feel like they are not doing enough spiritually. One student wrote, I struggle finding my place in the church while dealing with the schedule of school. Wanting relationships and answers to questions, etc., is just more difficult when I can't devote as much time as I would like. And now this is me speaking, and any college students here, please do not be offended, but I think sometimes, some college students at certain times can come across as a little flighty. Okay? Being a long time in student services and planning and all that, but I don't think that it's flightiness as much as it's just the natural growth process of managing time, being pulled in so many different directions, and not being able to think much further ahead than what is right in front of them with all their responsibilities. What's on the syllabus? What's on my course schedule? What are my extracurriculars? What's my job? I'm holding a job. They're being pulled in so many directions, and they're launching to the space where all that responsibility falls on them. And so I think we ought to be patient and give grace and the benefit of the doubt to the college students in all cases. And I think that older members have an opportunity to mentor and grow the next generation in their faith. And one of the things I see is, and it's not surprising, that college students, and really all of us in one way or another, but very much wrestling with the values of our culture, especially when they come into conflict with the Christian walk, which, I mean, that's nothing new. The world and God has been in conflict for a very long time. And so we all feel that tension in different ways. But I think of the things that our culture is really valuing now, that there's a lot of sympathy for that, but also trying to balance that with God's values and God's ethical demands and God's word. One student wrote, be willing to talk to us about the hard questions. Even if you don't know the answers, it helps us to grapple with difficult spiritual topics that grow our faith. As my buddy Andrew said, he said, you know, if you get to know these students and talk with them and you get opportunities, and said, even if they disagree with you, they're still going to respect you. So we grow those relationships. Another student said, I'm hopeful to eventually be where my mentors are now. Seeing adults that I'm friends with makes me want to reach that stage of life. And another said, I'm hopeful that we, college students, can be an encouragement to older Christians and mentors to younger Christians. See, college students want to serve just as well. They want to find their place. And so we can provide the college students on the verge of adulthood what the Christian walk looks like at all these different stages. And I think we need to be real with them, which really comes with relationships and vulnerability. And I still think of the students that went to China with us for a month. They saw the real us, okay? It looks all glossy and nice. Real life is hard, and it gets challenging. And so they saw the real challenges of marriage and parenting in very stressful situations. And it's not always pretty, but guess what? They loved us anyway. They loved us anyway. And despite our flaws, just as we loved them despite their flaws, we saw the true them, real them as well. You see, college students need spiritual mentors, and we all do at different stages of life, that point them to God and His Word. And how great in a congregation like this, they can see the Christian walk in the young professional stage, in the newly married stage, in the raising kids stage, in the middle age, in the empty nest, all the way to confronting death. They can get glimpses and snapshots of what that Christian walk looks like, and to see it modeled for them, and to offer these, not only pointing them to God, but offering lived out examples of the Christian walk. Again, not the glossy Photoshop version, but the real life examples. And that includes the unfiltered struggle with sin and living in a fallen world, but also the beautiful redemption and the hope that is found in Christ. You know, as we wrap up, I had to include 1 Timothy 4:12, right? When Paul writes, Timothy, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love, in faith and purity. And so we ought to hold our college students to high standards. And guess what? They rise to the occasion. Think about our 5:45 speakers. If you come to our 5:45, like, we get a theme and we get a general topic, and I mean, we don't just go like pick a random person off the street corner. I mean, we ask for some recommendations, and then we give them the topic and we leave them alone. And they come up here and they knock it out of the park. Now, you know, will there be some rough ones here and there? Sure. But we're providing a training ground for their growth. A student said, do not despise us for our youth. We are just as much members of the church as older members. We may need guidance and wisdom to grow, but don't treat us like children. I think as we encourage them, it's important to treat them as adults. Right? In a time of helicopter parenting, you know, we need to challenge and encourage and empower our college students to take the next step, to take the risk, to make the effort needed to launch them through the transitions that they're facing. And we can challenge them, and we can stretch them, and we can grow them. You know, I've got to mention again the Pen Pal program, because I think this was something I was spurred on because of COVID, and I think it was roughly maybe 3,000 both semesters, so probably around 6,000 pieces of mail over the course of the year. That's amazing, and we are doing the best. We did the best that we could in a challenging year, and we experienced growth too. But guess what? They also want to know who you are as well. That's what I hope next year we can do. We're going to keep doing the Pen Pal, but we also want to follow up. Some of y'all have met those students and gotten to know them personally. They want to know who's writing them. One said that when they would get the mail and that somebody else would say, well, why are you getting that mail? I'm like, oh yeah, it's from the Henderson members, right? So they know that we're trying to express love and care for them. And so I know that this congregation has already been doing so, but man, we are primed and ready to serve our college students this next year as we can release our hands from being tied because of COVID. I think the last thing to kind of remember is that our students, even the group that comes here, they're all going to be individuals and diverse and have their own stories to tell. Some of them are growing in their faith. Some of them are losing their faith. Some of them are struggling with their faith. And so we need to get to know them so we know how to best to love and serve and encourage them. And again, as I said at the beginning of the year, don't think as a whole group, just think, who can I connect with? Because if each of us are finding those couple of college students, then they're going to be covered by this whole congregation. And so we can do that as we model love and service and encouragement to this emerging generation. And we expect and look for growth in them as they love and serve and encourage us as well. So I think that's what I decided to share tonight as we think about the college. Again, there's lots of other interesting things out there, and there's definitely challenges and trends that you can see in this generation. But at the end of the day, we're all human. At the end of the day, there's nothing new under the sun. And yeah, things may look different, but we're all going to find things in common No matter how diverse we are, we can find things in common, and most importantly, we have Christ in common, and that can unify people from all different walks of life. And so I hope that you're encouraged by this tonight as we think about this population of our congregation. And really, we should be doing the same thing with each different generation that we see here that maybe has unique needs in their own different transitions that they're going on in life. So, of course, we don't want to close tonight without offering an invitation, an opportunity, that if you need to respond in any way, if we can pray for you, if you need to be baptized for remission of your sins, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, man, we can do that tonight. And so, again, it's been so good to talk with you. So love this congregation, being here a year now. Y'all are just great, and we've been super impressed by it, and I'm so thankful for the love that you all show. And so it's a privilege to worship here and serve alongside you all. If you have any need tonight, then now is a great time to come as we stand and as we sing.